There's a restaurant in Phoenix, Arizona, where I'm from. It's called Oregano's. It's an Italian restaurant. You may have guessed that. And it is really fantastically mediocre. It's fine, I guess. Like, pasta, pizza, salads. I mean, that's hard to kind of mess up. I mean, it's okay, but it's not great. But they do have this one item on the menu that I feel like God created on the eighth day. And it's called the Pizookie. It's like a pizza cookie. And they take the word pizza and the word cookie and they mix them together. And it creates this magical wonderment of culinary experience. It also sounds a little bit like bazooka, Pizookie does, because I think this makes your thighs blow up, which bazooka makes things blow up too. And the only reason I have ever gone to Oregano's, the only reason that I think people in general go to Oregano's is for that dessert. They take a cookie and they put it in the bottom of a little pan and they put it in an oven like really hot. So it cooks around the outside. So it's like crispy, but on the middle of the thing, it's still dough. And if that wasn't bad enough, they take three really big scoops of Dreyer's vanilla bean ice cream and put them on top. And then they bring you like 9 spoons because that's how many you need in order to finish it because it's huge. And anytime I've gone to Oregano's and anytime anybody goes to Oregano's, they're always looking forward to the dessert. I mean, you do the entrees and you do the salads and you do the whole thing, but in your mind, you're always looking forward to the dessert because that's the reason you're there. Okay. I would love for you to think of our corporate worship gathering this morning like a trip to Oregano's. Like, we have kind of the meat and potatoes of worship and preaching, but really what the trajectory of our worship service is headed towards this morning is this time of corporate prayer at the end, and it's going to be the dessert. It really, when we walk out, you're going to think, well, that's the reason I came. That's the reason I came. So at the end of the service, here's what we're going to do. We're going to invite a number of people who have some training in this or part of our congregation as prayer partners, people that we've grabbed beforehand, and they have, like I said, gone through some training. They're going to come forward. They're going to have name tags on. And they're available at the end of every service, but today we're going to do it as part of our corporate worship service. And we're going to ask anyone who would like someone to pray for them to come forward and receive prayer. Now, if you're new with us, this might seem or feel a little odd that, you know, people would stand and come forward for prayer. But coming into church and thinking, man, they're praying there. That's really weird. Is a lot like walking into a bar and going, they're serving beer here. That seems a little odd. That seems weird. Yes, we pray here. That's what we do. We love to pray for one another. In fact, if you're brand new with us, even if you're not a Christian, even if you're an atheist, we'd love to pray for you. And if you came forward to receive prayer, nobody's going to put their hand on your shoulder and go, oh, dear God, convict this moron. That's not what's going to happen. We're going to pray blessing over you and good things over you, that God would show his presence and glory to you and draw you to himself. We just want to pray for you no matter who you are. And the topic this morning is healing the broken. That's really what we're talking about. We're talking about healing the broken, and we all have brokenness in our lives. We're going to talk about what that is, and we're going to talk about the specifics of what that is, and that God has entered into the world through his son Jesus in order to bring healing to those broken places. Now, I want to start with the source of brokenness, and then we're going to move on to kind of what we do with brokenness. But understand that brokenness, whatever that brokenness is occasionally a result of a specific sin and always a result of original sin. So this is why this is critical to understand, is because some of us in our life, in fact, I had a friend a couple years ago diagnosed with cancer, and someone in her life was like, well, you have cancer because you don't have enough faith. Like, no, that's stupid. Please don't say that ever again. And it's not biblical. There are occasions, and I'll show you the biblical passage, when God gives someone an ailment or allows someone to endure something in order to draw that person to himself. That doesn't happen very often. It's a rare occasion. But always, any kind of brokenness that we experience is a result of original sin. That is to say that God created his world perfect. And in his perfect world, there was no brokenness. There was no death. There was no sickness. There was no relational divide. There was no emotional unhealth. Nothing needed to be healed because nothing was broken. And when sin entered into the world, it fractured what God had made perfect. Hence the reason he sent his son into the world in order to heal. Now watch, I want to show you from the scripture how we know this. Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he says, that is why, and he's talking about their sin, he says, that is why many among you are weak and sick and a number of you have fallen asleep. This is a Bible euphemism for dying. When you say someone passed away, that's kind of what they said back then. That person has fallen asleep. And he says, because of your sin and rebellion from God, God has allowed you to be afflicted with something in order to draw you back to himself. God never punishes his people, his children. He always uses things in order to correct and discipline and draw them back to him. And there are cases when our brokenness is God using those things to draw us back to himself. But that's not always the case. That's not always the case. Because there's a situation in John where Jesus and his disciples pass a man that's born blind on the street. And his disciples assume that this guy did something wrong in order to deserve his blindness. And if he didn't do something wrong, his parents for sure did something wrong. Watch what happens. He says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? You see the assumption here? Who sinned? Was it this guy or was his parents that he was born blind? And Jesus responds in a really brilliant way. He says, listen, it was not that this man sinned or his parents. See, the brokenness that he's experiencing is just a result of original sin. It's just the fact that we live in a broken world. It's just the fact that we live in a busted up world. It's not one of those occasions when it's a result of specific sin. We just live in a broken world. You may be experiencing any kind of brokenness in your life. Physical ailments, emotional brokenness, mental illness, which I've struggled with, divorce or relational fracture, any kind of brokenness in your life. And please, please, please understand that we live in a broken world, and broken world, and the broken world sometimes acts broken. So don't look back in your life and go, what did I do to deserve this? Because that's not how God works. It's just that we live in a busted up world, and God was kind enough to send his son into the world to heal that brokenness. So much so that Jesus would go on and he would say, it's not a result of his sin or his parents' sin, but so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Here's what Jesus is saying to us, and if you're jotting down notes, this is kind of our bottom line truth for this morning. This is the thing I want all of us to kind of walk away with. So if you write down notes, or if you use your iPhone or your iPad or your whatever to take pictures of the screen, which I see some of you doing, yes, I see you. If you're doing that, then you want to jot this down. Here we go. Broken. God can use both our brokenness and our wholeness for his glory and for our good. God can use both our brokenness and our wholeness for his glory and for our good. So here's what I want to do as we continue this morning and as we move toward this, the reason we are all here for that dessert time, that prayer time. I want to define two critical words. The first word is broken and the second is healing, because we're talking about healing the broken this morning. So whilst we're in our brokenness, God can use it. Whilst we're whole and healed, God can use that as well. So let's talk about the brokenness that we experience on a regular basis. We could experience all different kinds of brokenness. This word broken might mean ruptured, torn, or fractured. One of our guys on stage here, Dave Dowdell, actually ruptured his Achilles tendon a couple years ago. He was doing parkour, which, do you know what parkour is? Yeah, so that was dumb. That was dumb to begin with, Dave. You shouldn't have been doing parkour. I have fractured parts of my body before. I fractured my wrist playing indoor soccer when I was like 36. I should have retired a long time ago, right? Like you can bust and fracture and tear things. It's kind of got a physical implication. It could also mean if something's broken, it could mean it's not functioning. Like if you told me that your iPhone was broken, it might not mean it's cracked, but it might mean it's just not functioning. Or if you looked at me and goes, my family is just broken. It doesn't mean that they're broken in half. It just means that they are dysfunctional. Some of your families put the fun in dysfunctional, didn't they? It also means something is fragmentary or incomplete. Like if we say it's a broken road, it just stops. It's fragmentary or incomplete. That's kind of got an emotional or spiritual connotation, doesn't it? We're incomplete inside, fractured and broken inside. But the good news is that Jesus came to heal, and this word heal can have these same types of connotations. Heal can mean to make free from injury or disease. This has a physical implication, make free from injury or disease. It could also mean to patch up or correct, like patch up a relationship or correct something that's gone astray, a relationship that's been fractured, or to make sound or whole. There's that spiritual and emotional connotation as well, wholeness inside. So understand that when the Bible begins to talk about healing, and when Jesus engages in a healing process in his ministry, he does so in a number of different areas. He does so with physical healing. He heals people that were born blind from birth, heals people that were unable to walk. He heals lepers. And most of us want to focus on this because this is what we see and this is what we feel and this is what's most impressive. But Jesus heals in so many other ways. He heals in emotional ways. When Jesus came on the scene and announced his ministry to heal the brokenhearted or to bind up the brokenhearted, he's not talking about healing people who have a heart murmur, right? He's not talking about healing people who have an aorta that's not functioning properly. He's talking about healing our deep emotional wounds. There's also relational healing that comes along with the gospel and comes along with God's entrance onto the planet. Relational healing with our relationship with God and our relationship with others. So much so that Paul would go so far as to say those groups of people that are so far from each other, so distant from each other, hate each other so much, male, female, Jews, Gentiles, slaves and free. Back then, those were the groups that were most at war. Christ has made them one. He has healed that relationship. And there's spiritual healing that takes place as well. Spiritual healing, our healing on the inside. So we said this last week about God's peace, but when we talk about God's healing, it's important for us to understand that we're not just talking about a physical ailment because God's healing is comprehensive. God's healing is comprehensive. It enters into every part of who we are. Physical, emotional, spiritual, relational. And when God enters into the world and when he enters into your experience, your circumstances, your life, his healing covers all. So here's what I want to do. I want to talk about what to do in the midst of our brokenness and how God can use our brokenness for his glory and our good. And then I want to talk about healing and how we go about that piece as well. I think it's best to learn from Paul when it comes to learning about how to respond to God in the midst of our brokenness. Because look what Paul, who is the greatest missionary that ever lived, wrote most of the New Testament, by the way, look what he writes about himself. He says, to keep me from being conceited, to prevent me from being arrogant, being puffed up, thinking too highly of myself, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. So what Paul is saying is he was given a physical ailment. That's what that kind of analogy means. A thorn was given to him in his flesh, an ailment of some kind. And there are theologians and scholars that have guessed as to what that ailment might have been. Paul does not tell us specifically. There's all kinds of guesses out there. Some people guess that it was Paul's sexuality. Some people guess that it was Paul was a hunchback because he was in a prison that was really small all of his life, and he was for a good portion of his life. So he was a hunchback. That was his thorn given to his flesh. Some people say that Paul was blind, and that was the thorn in his flesh. And we know that Paul couldn't see very well because at the end of Galatians 6:11, he writes to the church at Galatia. He says, "See with what large letters I write with my own hands." What he's telling them is, I'm not dictating this letter. I'm actually writing it by myself, and I have to write really big letters because I can't see all that well. Sometimes when people ask me to sign like birthday cards and stuff, I sign my name really big, and then I put Galatians 6:11 on there. Because if they look it up, they will think it's funny. So we don't know what the thorn in his flesh was, but we do know, Paul says, he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, whatever this ailment, this brokenness was, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, my power is made perfect in your weakness. That's God's really nice way of saying no. So here's what Paul says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So what happens when we are weak? What happens when we are broken? What's the appropriate response of the Christ follower in the midst of our brokenness? Well, we boast in our weaknesses. We boast in our brokenness. We boast. Why? Because in our brokenness, God's glory shines brightest. In our brokenness, God's glory shines brightest. When we are crippled emotionally, when we are broken physically, in the midst of challenging relationships, in the midst of dark spiritual times, God shows up in a unique way and his glory shines in an extraordinary way. I've got a friend who's in the hospital with one of her children right now. She has a couple of kids that have both been diagnosed with spina bifida. She has resuscitated those children each more than 100 times. One of them had an emergency brain surgery this last week, wasn't sure if the child was going to live. Neither of them have a really good longevity. And I've watched her post on Facebook on the occasions when I get on, very, very rare occasions, she and her husband. And God's glory is absolutely shining like crazy in the midst of that brokenness, in the midst of that challenge, in the midst of that difficulty. Why? Paul says that we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing greatness and power belongs to God and not to us. See, in the midst of our brokenness, we can say, I'm weak, but God is strong. I'm broken, but God's making me whole. I'm fractured, but he can still shine through me. Picture a candle put inside of a clay jar that's whole and has no cracks in it. The candle is hidden, but the minute you introduce cracks and fractures and breaks into that clay jar, all of a sudden the light of the candle begins to shine forth and show forth. And in the midst of our brokenness, regardless of what it is, God's power and glory can shine through. But see, it's not just our brokenness that God can use. It's also our wholeness. And God heals for the same way that he allows us to be broken. He heals in order to demonstrate his power and glory. See, in the midst of our brokenness, God demonstrates power and glory, but also in the midst of our wholeness. And so he heals in order to demonstrate his power and glory. We know this because Jesus interacted with a man who was lame from birth in the book of Luke. And his friends, it was great, they picked him up, four corners of this rug, took him up to the top of the house, dug in the top of the house, lowered him down to the feet of Jesus. And the Pharisees ask him, the religious leaders, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And Jesus says this. He says, I want you to know. He says, I'm about to do something. I'm just going to stop here. I'm about to do something, but understand that I've got a point here. And my point might not be what you think my point's going to be. You might think my point's going to be, as I'm going to raise this guy, and he's going to be able to walk again, and everybody's going to go, isn't that a neat trick? But that's not my point, Jesus says. Here's my point. I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So, you want a physical miracle, and I'm going to do that, but I'm going to do it in order to demonstrate that I can do physical miracles as well. So Jesus looked at the man, and he says, take up your mat and go home. And the man took up his mat and went home. See, when this broken man was made whole, Jesus was acknowledged as one who has authority, power, and glory. Do you see it? See, God made him whole, this man, so that he could point to his own power and glory. Same is true in the book of Acts. Peter and John are walking through the temple. This is after Jesus has died, resurrected, and ascended into heaven. And they come upon a man who was lame from birth. And Peter says, or blind from birth. And Peter says, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have to you, lame from birth. I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And the man, leaping up, he stood and began to walk. Entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, this is a religious place, but this man is walking around, leaping and praising God, and he had been lame from the time he was born. And so people are going, hey, first of all, hold it down a little bit. Second, what's happening? Who did this to you, and why did they do it? So they begin to ask Peter and John, hey, what gives, guys? And here's Peter and John's response. Peter says, he addressed the people, and he says, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety, our own goodness, our own righteousness, or our own strength, we have made him walk? Peter says, no. God heals in order to demonstrate his power and glory, not ours. He wants us to know that he's in control, that he's sovereign, that he has power over physical ailments, emotional ailments, spiritual ailments, and relational ailments. And he can use our brokenness to demonstrate his power and glory, and he can also use our wholeness, thus he heals in order to demonstrate his own power and glory as well. But when it comes right down to it, so many of us have cried out for physical healing, for a friend, for a spouse, for a relative, for a parent. And God hasn't granted that healing here in this life. And what I want you to know is this, that God always heals. God always brings wholeness. Even though you felt like maybe God said no, he said yes. He just said it in a different way than you expected. Because sometimes God fixes and sometimes he replaces. Amy and I have a Toyota Highlander, and it's got one of those automatic trunks, you know, where you push the button and the trunk opens, or you push the button on the back or inside and the trunk opens and closes automatically. And when we got it, one of the sensors on the left side always thought the trunk was closed. And the sensor on the right side always thought the trunk was open. So whether the trunk was closed or open, no matter what button you pushed, the thing got really angry and beeped really loudly. And it was a real pain in my bottom. It really was. Like, I hated it, right? So I took it back to the dealership. I said, will you guys fix this? So they said, yeah, we got it. We fix it. They fix it, and they gave it back to me. I'm not kidding. 24 hours later, happened again. Push the button. Beep! You see how annoying that is? That's what it was. Okay, then take it back. They fix it again, gave it back to me. Third time, fix it again, gave it back to me. Every time it broke. Finally, the fourth time, I brought it back. I'm like, look, what are we going to do about this? And they said, here's the deal. What we're going to do is we're going to take your vehicle back. We're going to fix it, but we're going to keep it until we're sure it's fixed. And in the meantime, we're going to give you a loaner vehicle to drive. And you know when they tell you that? It's like, this is a 1982 Pinto, and it is very nice. Like, that's, you know, a lot of times what they give you. They didn't give me that. They gave me one model up from what I was driving. So instead of, like, the normal moonroof, I had the panoramic sunroof. You know which one that is? Like, the whole top opens like a spaceship. It was unbelievable. It had, like, not just heated seats, but it had cooled seats, which you need this time of year. Like, when it's 8-9 degrees, man, you need those seats to be chilly. Like, it had all kinds of bells and whistles and things that I really liked and really enjoyed. And so when the dealership called me back and said, your car is fixed, and I said, congratulations, I will have this one back in early 2019. It would have been silly for me to say, no, I want the broken car back, right? Like, what if they said to me, excuse me, what if they said to me, just keep the new one. It's yours, just keep it. We'll deal with the old one. You just keep the new one. That's silly, right? See, this is what God does for us. When our bodies break down, which they will, when this tent that we're living in temporarily starts to fold up, which it will, there will be moments where God heals and then moments where he just gives us a new one. Isn't that cool? Now watch this. Paul writes this. He says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Not everybody's going to die. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, new body, replaced, and we shall be changed. Keep going. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. This mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. For those of you who have lost someone close to you, I have. Someone who has gone to be with the Lord and you still long for them and you ache for them and you grieve for them, especially this time of year. And the brokenness that we're talking about this morning is an emotional brokenness, a fracture in your heart. I understand, the Bible understands, but we do not grieve as those who have no hope. Because that person who has gone before you has now put on immortality, put on the imperishable, and death has been swallowed up. Don't you like that? Swallowed up. See, because sometimes God fixes and sometimes he just replaces. When it comes to this concept of healing, here's the great news for me, is that eventually there will come a day when Jesus cracks open the sky. He returns not as a humble king, but as the reigning king. He puts a stop to all this nonsense and all this brokenness, and he is going to heal it all. Physical, emotional, relational, spiritual, all healing, complete and forever. We know this because he promised through his servant John. He gave John a vision of the future, a vision of what's to come, a vision when all things kind of come to a close. John writes this. He says, "Then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God.'" Keep going. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. No more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, no more chemo, no more insulin, no more casts, no more getting up in the morning and trying to figure out which part of your body hurts the worst. No more fractured relationships, no more mental health issues, no more emotional instability. No more professional counselors. We love you. We're grateful for you, but you won't have a job in heaven because God will heal all brokenness one day. He's going to heal every last bit of it." And sometimes we want God to hustle up, don't we? We want God to get it done. Listen to what Peter says. Watch what Peter says. He says, "Don't overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as one day." That's not encouraging, is it? I was taking Kaya to school, my 3-year-old, on Friday, I guess. And she has this pink, sparkly dress that she and Amy were at Costco, the place from whence all good things come, by the way. And she passed by this dress, and she just went bananas. She's like, "I have to have it, I have to have it. It's my church dress, it's my church dress." I don't know why she wants to wear a pink, sparkly dress to church. I do wish that I had a shirt like that I could wear to church, because I think it's fantastic. Pink, sparkles, right up my alley. So Kaya has this dress, and on Friday morning, she wanted to wear it to school. And I said, "Babe, you can't wear it to school. You can't wear it to school. None of your other classmates are going to be wearing their church dress to school, and you guys play outside. You can't get it dirty. You can't wear your church dress. But the minute I pick you up, I'll let you wear it." And that's 6 hours from now. 6 hours. You have to wait 6 hours. And did Kaya say, "You know what? That sounds good"? Of course she didn't. She went bananas. Still crying, screaming, "I want to wear my church dress. I want to wear it now." And to me, 6 hours doesn't seem like a long time. To her, it seems like forever, right? To me, it doesn't seem like a long time. You want to know why? Because I'm 13 times older than she is. I got a lot more hours under my belt. So when God says 1,000 years is like a day and a day is like 1,000 years, he's saying, "Look, I'm eternal. And if you see things from an eternal perspective, which you will one day, because you will live forever, you will know that God did so in his timing and in the way he designed and desired. But you can be sure that he will heal all brokenness, and we wait patiently for that day." Now, some of these concepts, this concept of God using our brokenness to display his power and glory, this concept of God healing us and making us whole in order to display his power and glory, this concept of waiting patiently for one day when God will make all things new and heal all of our brokenness, you know, they're really clear from the scripture. But this morning, I would like for us to hear those principles with our hearts, not just with our heads. And I think one of the best ways to do that is to hear somebody tell their own story, not just their story of learning these principles mentally and reading them from the scripture, but learning these principles by experience. And so as we prepare this morning just to have a time of healing prayer to close, I want you to turn your eyes on the screens behind me as we listen to Janelle's story. Let's watch together.
My name is Janelle Lewis, and I am married to Dave Lewis, who is the community pastor here at Bayview. I have 4 children. 20-year-old, a 17-year-old, 15, and now just 14-year-old. We moved here only about 2.5 years ago from British Columbia, and we are settling in and enjoying it here. And today I just want to share with you how God has healed me. So I met my husband in university, where I was doing my Bachelor of Music. We got married in 1996. We were busy enjoying ministry life. I was playing piano for different instrumentalists and vocalists, and I was teaching piano as well and also having children. 2008, my husband and I, we were living in Montreal. We were church planting. And all of a sudden, one day, I'm practicing and I'm getting significant pain into my hands and fingers. And eventually I find out that that will be a time in my life where the music literally stops. When I first got that pain, I just thought to myself, well, this isn't going to be a big thing. I'm just going to play through it. So I practiced harder and I practiced longer, and it wasn't making it better. It was definitely making it worse. The time was going, my pain was getting higher, things were getting worse, and I was getting pretty frustrated, actually. And one neurologist even told me that I would never use my hands again. So it was a very dark time, no answers. And we did eventually find a neurologist that did all the testing, and we found out that I had TOS. TOS is thoracic outlet syndrome. What it meant for me was that I couldn't raise my hands. They were turning purple. They were cold. My family couldn't touch my arms. And even the wind was excruciating. So after the diagnosis, I was now left with, well, how do I live with this? And it was tough because I'm in bed and my kids are still active, but I'm just watching them. My husband's left to do everything, and I felt like God had left me. So the doctors told me in order for me to even recover from this, I would have to have complete rest. Complete rest meant not using my hands and arms at all. And I didn't understand that. In this time, God actually gave me a vision. He put his foot on my back in a gentle way, but firm way. And he reminded me in that vision, he's like, keep your head down, Janelle. Keep your head down. But I kept trying to pull up. I actually kept in my mind, no, I can do this. I can get better. So after a year plus of living in this kind of pain, at this point I was now in CAS and immobile. And it wasn't getting better, even with the treatments I was having in Montreal. So we were looking for other options. And we found a therapist actually in my hometown of BC who was a Christian man. And while he was treating me, he was praying that God would heal me. And after 3 months, my husband could hold my hand for the first time in 2 years. So at that time, we knew I had to stay in BC. The hardest decision Dave and I have ever made is having to split up as a family. So he went back to Montreal with the older two, and I stayed in BC with the younger two. Another 3 months rolls around, and I'm thinking that I'm going to be able to move back to Montreal, back to my home shortly. And but that wasn't the case. The therapist did say, this is going to be a lot longer than we originally planned. And so at this point in our life, Dave made the plans to come out to BC and bring the family. I was healing. It was very, very slow. And I continued to cry out to God. And he gave me a second vision. And this vision was, Janelle, now you can get up. You can sit up. but I'm going to sit in behind you. I'm going to allow you just to put your chest, your head, your neck, everything right up against me, and I will support you. And as I was doing that, I felt like God was just being very intimate with me because he was humming, and he knows I love music. And it was like there was a bit of joy that was coming back into my life. I'm wanting to journal because that is, I've always loved journaling, but my arms, you know, you can see my journal. I'm writing, and then all of a sudden it's my handwriting's crazy. So I'm like, okay, I can't journal anymore. So I used a recorder, and I recorded psalms and prayers and just spoke my heart out so that I was actually being active and not just compressing and keeping everything in. And I was crying out to God, are you ever going to heal me? And he answered me. He said, yes. And he stood me up and he said, Janelle, you can fly. He said, but you have broken wings. So you need to return to me every day and allow me to bandage you up. The healing thing didn't happen right away. I was trying to get out and fly, but what that meant was washing dishes for maybe 30 seconds at a time. So it was almost a year later that I have an amazing healing day. After 4 years of excruciating pain and our family going through crazy stuff together, we have what we call now Miracle Monday. We were working with a different therapist, and she had been treating my body for 3 hours and praying all the while. We didn't even know she was a Christian lady until we got there. And I had been praying the few days before, it's even in my Bible, about God just restoring. And sure enough, that day, after 3 hours, I went to go pick up a blanket that had fallen on the floor. And now you have to remember, my arms felt heavy, like I couldn't really lift them. So when I went to pick up the blanket, it actually flew almost over my head. And I was shocked. Dave and I and the therapist, we were all crying, and I had healing. In 4 months, our family had our own home. I was learning how to be a mom, cooking, cleaning. Just the simple joys of life were given back to me. The fact that I could drive my kids, pick them up from school, making their lunches. I'm sorry, but I still make my grade 12's lunch because that was taken, and I love it. So these are things that the simple joys of life, I just don't take for granted. So in 2013, I'm teaching piano again. I'm even playing piano a little bit, and I'm relearning how to teach because I had forgotten so much, and I was relying so much on just God guiding me in the day. And actually, we, as a family, you could see the joy just lifted. I live in this tension of wanting to keep going and keep moving, and God keeps calling me back. You would think I'd have learned it perfectly. I haven't yet, but I'm in this process. And I know that God's not finished with my story yet.
Would you join me in thanking Janelle for sharing her story? If making people's lunches is kind of part of the way that you rejoice in what God has done, then I'm always happy to eat whatever you want to make. Janelle and Dave, obviously, and their family are really good friends. Listen to what James says about those in the church who are hurting. He says, if any one of you is suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful, let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer partners today actually have anointing oil. If you wanted to be anointed with oil, you don't have to be. Nothing special about that. It's just an act of obedience. If you want them to anoint you with oil as they pray over you, just ask for that. They'll do that. And it says, the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he committed sins, he will be forgiven. See, there's the spiritual healing part. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. It's just a simple prayer. It's just a little thing. It's just a prayer offered in faith, but it makes a big difference. Like you ever step on a Lego? It's a very little thing. It makes a really big difference. This is the prayer of faith. It's just a little thing. It makes a big difference. What the Bible is commanding us to do, what God's commanding us to do, is very, very simple. Pray for God's healing for those who are broken. Pray for God's healing for those who are broken. So that's what we're going to do this morning. And I know you might be reluctant to come forward. I know that might be feel a little odd for some of us. Some of us are introverts. Some of us really like our time to ourselves. And if you just want to stay in your seat and pray where you're at and reflect, that is okay. That's okay. But I would just encourage you in this way. On Tuesday morning, our pastors gather together every week. Our staff, we pray together. We pray for the Connect cards that come in. And then we just have a time together as pastoral staff. And we've been going through this book. We kind of put the book aside for a minute, and we kind of did a check-in with everybody in the room. And to a man, every pastor in the room says, hey, I'm broken right now. I'm experiencing some spiritual brokenness, emotional brokenness, relational brokenness. I'm experiencing some physical brokenness or people in my family. And there were tears in that room. There was vulnerability in that room. And, you know, it's like vulnerability always breeds vulnerability, right? The first person gets honest and everybody else goes, oh, thank God I can get honest. So here's what I'd like for us to do. I'd like for us to see this next few minutes as a time of worship and a family time. And for us to just commit together this simple concept that everybody needs healing. That everyone needs healing. If there's pastors in our church that say, I'm broken and I need God to intervene, would you pray for me? And that's what we did. We prayed for everybody in that room. Then certainly there is someone here that needs that. Prayer partners, I would invite you to stand up and come forward. For those of you who desire to have somebody pray for you, no matter what brokenness you're experiencing, emotional, relational, physical, spiritual, please stand, come forward. These guys will pray for you. And for the rest of us, let's just sit quietly in response and reflection. And Andy will lead us in a closing chorus here in a moment. Let's spend some time and pray together. And for those who want prayer, stand and come forward right now.